the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Welcome to part two of our series, The King is Here. In this series, we're exploring the second half of Mark's Gospel, chapters 8 through to 16. This talk was part of our live streaming evening service on the 26th of April. And so if you're listening to this talk after, then you may wish to press pause and read Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through to 38, which is the context for my reflection on Mark 8, verse 34. Well, we have now completed 5 weeks of lockdown in the UK, and I'm sure for many of you, just like me, your life has taken on a different rhythm. This new rhythm has probably involved a combination of giving up and taking up activities, behaviours and attitudes. For example, my work, like many people, has pretty much dried up now as a freelancer. My work in school is stopped because schools have stopped, in the traditional sense. My sporting activities have stopped. I no longer have my weekly tennis games. And clearly, the face-to-face church activities have also stopped. And on the other hand, my garden has never looked better. And I finally tidied up the garage and basement after months of, if not years, of procrastinating. I know many of you are homeschooling at the moment, supporting your children in their education. And others of you have taken up PPE for extended periods of time, well beyond what you've experienced before. Well, tonight, we're particularly reflecting on Mark 8, verse 34. And this also explores the themes of giving up and taking up. As we'll see, Jesus calls on those who follow him to live out a particular lifestyle. He calls on all of his disciples to follow his example. Now, last week, Nick Goldsworthy introduced the series. If you have time, it is well worth downloading and listening to it from our website, as it serves as useful background to my work tonight. And also, Jenny Hudson's message from the 22nd of March would also be useful background as she explored Mark 8, 1 to 30. You may also find it helpful to have a Bible open in front of you as we begin. We're going to start a little earlier in Mark than verse 34. Look at verse 29 if it's open in front of you. This verse records Peter's answer to the question, "Who do you say I am?" Peter declares that Jesus is the long-awaited, long-hoped-for Messiah. Jesus then, in verse 31, goes on to explain what the life of the Messiah would actually look like. The Messiah will suffer. The Messiah will be rejected. The Messiah will then be killed, followed later by resurrection. And verses 32 to 33 reveal that Peter has a totally wrong understanding of the life and role of the Messiah. Jesus once again reveals the upside-down kingdom of God. Victory is achieved by suffering, not conquering. Serving rather than being served. Now, if Peter has misunderstood the life and role of Jesus, of the coming Messiah, perhaps he has also misunderstood the life and role of Jesus' disciples. Jesus goes on in verse 34 to announce what the lives of his disciples, his followers, should look like. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Verse 34 serves as a concise summary of what the Christian life following Jesus should look like. And this summary applies as much to us living in the 21st century as it did for those living in the first century. So I wonder, what does verse 34 teach us today? We're going to explore it under three headings. Firstly, who do you follow? Secondly, how do you follow by giving up? And thirdly, how do you follow by taking up? It may sound obvious to you, perhaps too obvious in a sense. But the first point I want to make is that those who claim to follow Jesus need to follow him rather than someone else. This is what we see in verse 34. Whoever wants to be my disciple must, follow me. The New Revised Standard Translation of the Greek makes it even clearer. If any want to become my followers, follow me. In this verse, Jesus actually suggests two other people we could choose to follow instead. And I wonder if you can spot them. The first is more obvious than the second. Firstly, you could follow yourself. We see this in the phrase, deny themselves. Now, all of us could choose to live our lives as autonomous, free individuals, being our own boss, being king of our lives, being in charge, doing what we want when we want to, deciding for ourselves. And we often justify this libertarian approach to life by claiming that we have certain inalienable rights. I have a right to protection from ... and I have a right to receive or experience ... Some may suggest that this liberal way of thinking arose during the 18th and 19th centuries. But the desire to live an independent, autonomous life is as old as time. If you read Genesis 3, the story of Adam and Eve eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, found at the beginning of the Bible, we're reminded that the desire to be independent and have control over our lives has been written about for thousands of years. So firstly, you could choose to follow yourself. Now, while the first alternative person Jesus mentioned is obvious from the passage, who is the second person Jesus introduces? It is Caesar, and in particular, and probably the ruling authorities in general. And we see this through Jesus' mention of the cross. Caesar was in charge of the Roman Empire, which was a totalitarian state. In the first century, the Romans controlled everything in the Mediterranean region. If you didn't follow their rules and laws, then you suffered the consequences, which potentially included crucifixion. In Mark 8, verse 34, Jesus gives the crowd and his disciples three alternative choices for who they could follow in life. You could follow yourself, you could follow the ruling powers, or you could follow Jesus, God's chosen and anointed one. And today we continue to face the same choice. So let me ask you, who have you chosen to follow? Now, whoever you choose to follow should impact the life we lead. Our lifestyle should imitate the values and teachings of who we follow. So if you've chosen to follow Jesus, this verse helpfully then goes on to explain how we are to follow him. Jesus starts by telling his audience to give up or stop doing certain things. The phrase, deny yourself, tells us we are not to be number one. Jesus reminds us that we cannot be one of his followers if we live a self-centered, autonomous life. Christians cannot always do what they want to do when they like. Being a Christian involves surrendering to the will of God. We stop following our own plans and follow God's. We use our time, our possessions, our energy and our power and influence to further God's plans. Now, if you study the life of Jesus, his words and deeds, you see that he is an example of how to live a faithful life following God. For example, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus chose to submit to his Father in heaven, uttering those famous words in Mark 14, verse 36. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. And Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, specifically describes Jesus as denying himself and following the Father's will. In Philippians 2, verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus came to serve, not to be served, and his followers are expected to do the same. Now, for many of us, giving up is an ongoing battle because our modern culture emphasizes the importance of individualism and self-discovery. So verse 34 goes on to also remind us not only to give up individualism and self-discovery, but also to let go of automatically submitting to the ruling authorities. We need to take up God's way of living, since God should be the highest authority in our lives. You need to listen carefully. I'm not saying it is fine to break the law as and when we want to. I've got a previous talk on Romans 13. You can download it. It was a service recorded on the 19th of May. And that goes on to explore Romans 13 verses 1 to 7. But what I am saying is there may be times when following Jesus involves breaking the law. And when you do, Jesus is clear that there will be consequences. Verses 35 to 39 remind us that all actions have consequences, so we must choose our actions carefully in order to receive the right consequences. Think about what you may have had to give up following Jesus already in your life. I hope you're encouraged by the changes you can see in your own life looking back. It's also worth remembering that since we all have different personalities and have had different life experience, we've probably had different things to give up. And I'm also sure we have all found certain things harder to give up than others. And I think this is natural, that some things are harder to give up than others, because we've been brought up blindly to obey our culture's values, maybe our family's values. And we may stand out if we give them up. We may be rejected by people, and that's tough and that's difficult to admit to. It's also worth remembering at this point that God is a loving and forgiving Father. Just like Peter and the rest of the disciples, if and when we get things wrong, if we slip back into old habits, we can come to God and confess our mistakes and he will forgive us. And we can also call on the support of the Holy Spirit to help us during these times. But following Jesus not only involves giving up, it also involves taking up. Jesus' call to take up your cross refers to the punishment of crucifixion. The condemned person had to carry the wooden crossbeam through the town to the place they would be crucified. Just as he predicted his own death in verse 31, Jesus is telling his audience that being his follower involves taking up and imitating his behaviour. Now, while this may clearly mean some will die for their faith, and throughout church history we have experience of that, and even in the modern day in particular countries, crucifixion also includes other elements which we may also experience today, even if we're not killed for our faith. And these other elements may be experiences and circumstances that perhaps we in the West may face more readily than the threat to our lives. Crucifixion meant more than just killing, because there were other ways of killing in the ancient world, and Roman citizens weren't allowed to be crucified. Yes, they may be killed, but their death was different. It was generally a beheading, very quickly, pain-free. So crucifixion means something more than simply being killed. For a start, to be crucified was to be labelled as a rebel, as someone who rejected the values and standards of society. To be crucified involved public shaming. You had to carry the crossbeam through the streets, and you were crucified naked in a public place. The person being crucified and the associated family were publicly humiliated by these actions. And to be crucified involved incredible suffering, both during the preparation phase, which may have involved whipping, but also the drawn-out suffering on the cross, where it may have taken a number of days to die. So it's not just, crucifixion is not just about killing. It involves other values being expressed about who you are as a person. So if we are to follow Jesus then, our faith may be ridiculed, and we may be rejected by those around us. We may be seen as disturbers of the peace. Life for us may become uncomfortable at times because we don't simply go along with the crowd. We may be rejected because of that. We may also cause those in power embarrassment when we challenge their decisions and values, when we refuse to go along with them. If we follow the example of Jesus, then we will love all our neighbours equally. We won't seek power for power's sake. A successful Christian life will not be measured by status, popularity, or wealth. Taking up our cross involves living an alternative lifestyle, supporting the poor, the vulnerable, the outsiders, just like Jesus. It's a life of service rather than being served. Looking back over your life of faith, can you think of specific actions, attitudes, or values from the words and deeds of Jesus that you have particularly taken up? Why not set yourself a challenge this week to develop one further? As we draw to a close, I want to tell you about something one of my daughters has taken up during her enforced lockdown at home with us. Painting. Not only has she been painting her bedroom walls, but she's also taken up fine art again. The tools she uses for each type of painting are very different. The roller covers her bedroom walls quickly in broad sweeps of uniform colour. But her paintbrushes allow her to add fine detail and subtle colour shading on her canvases. Two very different tools, producing very different results. Now, the reason I mention this is because my talk on Mark 8:34 has given you the broad sweep of life as a follower of Jesus, rather than the intricate fine detail. In our Christian lives, we need to both put down and take up as we follow Jesus' words and imitate his actions. Each of us are unique. Our life experiences, our skills and gifts, our personalities and our current circumstances all come together to create you, to create me. We're all different. This means that how we follow the example of Jesus may vary from person to person. Yes, some things will be the same for all of us, but some things may be different as we seek to follow Jesus where we live, work and play. So perhaps if you can find time this week on lockdown, maybe you can take some time to reflect on what the fine detail of Christian discipleship looks like in your life. You could use this quote from Scott McKnight to help identify how our behaviour or attitudes could become more Christ-like. Each believer, then, is summoned by the gospel to live a life marked by love, grace, forgiveness, justice, peace, and reconciliation. What does living a life of love look like for you this week? Or a life of grace? Or a life of forgiveness? Etc. The more you read your Bible and learn about the early church communities, the more examples of Christian discipleship within the first century Greco-Roman culture you'll encounter. And if you're the sort of person who enjoys reading church history or Christian biographies, you can see how others down through the centuries have sought to live out the broad principles of following Jesus in their own lives and historical context. You may wish to discuss the highs and lows of walking with Jesus in home group this week. But how about focusing on a gospel this week and read of the example of King Jesus? And just like Jesus' first followers and the early church, there will be times when we get it wrong and mess up. But God's love and forgiveness, along with the power of the Holy Spirit, will help us to keep going and become better followers. Being a follower of Jesus will always be a life-changing experience as we seek to follow Jesus' teaching and imitate his actions. So let us turn to the week ahead, and let us reflect on, and let us go boldly into the week, taking up and putting down as we seek to be faithful followers of Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, during this disrupted time of lockdown, Lord, as some of us experience real times of struggle, of pressure, of loss of direction, may we hold on to the hope we have in Jesus by your Spirit. Father, as we question, what does Christian living look like during lockdown? Give us the wisdom, give us the inspiration, give us the creativity to reflect on the life of Jesus and how he interacted with the people around him in all the different life contexts he had. And may we put down and take up, being guided by your Spirit, I pray. Amen.